Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We're back. And so is hockey, but so is the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on WGN Radio. And once again, as always, it's a new season. So Mr. Chelsea Blogger, Scott King, joining me as we begin a new season, a preseason, a regular season, and hopefully a playoff season of Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Coming to you as we record Saturday following the Training Camp Festival scrimmage. First and foremost, Scott, outside the United Center is where the real Training Camp Festival fun happens for everyone who shows up here. Did you take part in any of the obstacle courses, the shoot the puck, the human-sized foosball contests, or any beverage intake and dancing with the live music?
Well, you know, I did spend all summer getting an obstacle course shape, but I didn't get a chance. I didn't get in too late. I got in a little early. Just wanted to get some food. I'm thankful you weren't
there
down.
There you go again.
Watch me eat. Then I jotted down some notes and listened to our audio that you provided for the scrimmage. So no, I didn't get to go outside. But you look back on like the NHL draft, and there's a ton of stuff outside. Anytime they have a big event here, they have all kinds of stuff for fans.
They do it up good. It's been a decade strong that John and Jay and the entire Blackhawks organization has done. It's really a great way to kick off the hockey season. For a couple of years there, it came a little later when they would open up at Notre Dame. That's not the case this year with the MBI Arena, but the place was, you know, pretty much almost full except for some of the upper reaches of the balcony. So I think fans are hungry, and so are we, for the return of hockey. And obviously, as the Blackhawks reported on Friday, the main storyline concerned Corey Crawford. And there he was, as we reported, those of us who reported early to Friday's practice, which was supposed to start, I believe Friday was at 11. I'm getting my days mixed up. But an hour or so beforehand, Corey Crawford was out there taking some shots, moving side to side, appearing to get himself comfortable once again with being a goalie once again, working with the goalies coach Jimmy Waite. And without further ado, let's now hear the entirety of what Corey Crawford had to say following that workout, an individual workout only, not with his teammates. And that appears to be the MO for the time being. Corey Crawford speaking for the first time since the Blackhawks convention on Friday as training camp practice, the puck dropped on the beginning of Blackhawks training camp.
Right now I am feeling pretty good. I've gotten better and better over the last couple months, and was able to skate a few times the last 2 weeks. I feel good on the ice as a goalie, but right now I'm not ready to go yet.
Can you tell us how much time you think it's going to be before you can join your teammates in the ice?
It's hard to say right now, but things have been progressing really well, so it's really hard to put a timeline right now, but it's nice to be on the ice, and feels like I didn't miss that much time compared to being out this long, but I was moving pretty good. Jimmy had a bunch of drills for us to do, and overall the ice time felt great.
Could you be specific about some of the hurdles you have to clear?
We want to talk more about injuries. Last year was concussion. And I'm still getting over symptoms, so most of them are gone, but I'm not clear yet. So until that happens, I won't be back in.
Corey, did vertigo play a role?
No, I didn't have vertigo once the whole time. People are going to speculate about what was going on, and it was tough. It was tough not playing. But right now I'm feeling good. Mike Gapski, our head trainer, has done a ton to help me out. I'm getting all the treatment that I need, and trying to get back as quick as possible. But I'm close. I'm really close.
Is a short-term plan basically like what you did this morning, work out a little bit before the practice? And is that what you plan to do, I guess, the next couple of days, the short-term?
Yeah. So we're trying to ease the intensity, not try to rush things. And, I mean, we've done a great job with that lately. And, you know, that's why it's hard to put a timeline to really know when I'm going to feel 100%. So, but at the same time, the last couple months have been a lot of progress.
When did you suffer the concussion? Was it during that last game, or was it maybe something before?
No, it was something before that, and things just kept getting progressively worse. And it just got to a point where it was time to sit out, and things never really got better. We thought maybe to try it when I went to Arizona, and then you know, we were at a point too where we were close in the standings, and then it just got to where it just wasn't. It didn't seem like it was worth it when we started to slide. So you know, it was better off long term, thinking about long term than trying to rush back.
Do you recall whether or not you were? There was got drilled in the head with a shot that had happened at either a playoff game before the season, the season before. Was it one big shot to the head?
I mean, I've had a few throughout the years, but you know, this one just it crept up and it just kept getting worse. So right now things have been better. And. I'm almost there. So, you know, that's a positive thing. Is you know, I'm not still where I was at 8-9 months ago.
When was it quiet about the concussion?
You know, that's we weren't telling injuries because we weren't really sure when I'd be back. You know, and things just kind of lingered, and it was hard to really talk about it or you know, to go through with that, because I just didn't know where I was at and where I was going to be at. So we just wanted to wait.
Is conditioning now a big hurdle for you, because you haven't been able to maybe work out the way you would in the past?
Yeah, I mean, half of the summer wasn't where it was in the other summers, but I think we're starting to pick it up a little bit. You know, a little bit of strength and cardio, but you know, we have our guys here to help me with that. Plenty of guys.
Time for two more.
Corey, when you're going through all this, knowing what we know about concussions now, is there ever a point, January, February, March, ever, that you thought maybe I should just retire?
When it lingers that long, I don't know. I was still into it, so I was really just going day to day and seeing how I was feeling when I got up. So, you know, it didn't really creep into my mind that much.
You talked to other
last one.
Other players who have gone through extended absences?
No, not really. Every guy goes through something a little bit different, so it's hard to say. I didn't really get too much feedback from other players.
Yes, there is a new transparency in how the Blackhawks deal with injuries. We're going to know more specifics now. It's not just going to be upper and lower. When we spoke with Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville about that, they seem to be pretty happy about it. There's no more hush-hush, as old school as Joel may be. He seemed to welcome it. But back to Corey specifically, and we'll get to some of the bigger injuries, the other injuries, I should say, a little bit later on. What stuck with you listening back on kind of the journey we all assume that Corey Crawford has been on since he last played in the game December 23rd? What stuck with you in what he had to say?
It sounded a little more, I guess, easygoing. It seemed like he's a little liberated to finally say what it is. So we all stop asking them, and people stop speculating. So
and there was some really rotten. There's some really rotten speculation going on when you're out in the town. You know, I don't know where people come up with some of this stuff, but unfortunately, the unknown invites that speculation. I think that's a good reason why the Blackhawks are doing this. But I think what he spoke of was what we all assumed, and you know, there's some pretty raw reality of what he was going through there.
Yeah, definitely. And he articulated that very well when saying, yeah, it's concussion. Yes, I'm still suffering the effects of it. And it happened, you know, early last year, unfortunately. So it's been a long journey for him. I say him getting on the ice before the first session yesterday and, you know, only 30 minutes, not moving around too much, you know, kind of laid back. But that's a huge step in the right direction. That's what he should be doing now if he's going to get back towards the beginning of the season. The fact that he's facing shots and he's moving around in net, that's all good. But I think fans need to kind of curb their expectations a little bit. You probably will see Cam Ward for, you got to imagine, a handful of games to start the season. That Crawford's on the ice, yes, but it's going to take a while. You don't want to push him too much because he is still experiencing some of the symptoms, and he said most of them went away in the clip we just heard. So I think he's happy to finally address it, and things are moving in the right direction, but it might be a little bit.
You get an example of how slow things have gone from the fact that the one time in February when he tried it on the ice in Arizona, you know, as much as he tried to put a good face on it, it didn't happen, and he hadn't been out on the ice, and you know, he sounded a lot more down at the convention than he is right now, and hopefully the 6 weeks between the convention and this point has done himself a world of good. So,
go ahead. So with the transparency, because I want to ask you what you think. For me, it's like just getting this right away, and it hasn't been this way, you know, forever, definitely since I've been covering the team. It's kind of jaw-dropping to hear a goaltender said, yeah, it was a concussion, I'm still kind of dealing with it. Now, do you think the Hawks are going to be trendsetters in the NHL in doing this? Are more teams going to follow so there's not speculation, so you know it could even help with awareness of some of the injuries for people out there in the real world?
Some teams have already been doing it for a while. I think the first guy, maybe mistaken, but the first guy to decide, forget this upper lower stuff. I mean, it was Ken Hitchcock when he was with St. Louis a couple of years ago. Did it in Dallas for his one season last year, and you get to, I think they get tired of playing the game. Whether the imminent gambling factor is going to be a part of this as well, as part of the decision. But I also think, based on some of the blowback that teams get when they are criticized, especially for these long-term injuries, when there's some kind of shroud of secrecy they're trying to keep over it, I think it does everybody a world of good. Plus, I think that, I may be mistaken here, but unlike the 80s or whatever, or the 70s or before that, I think players, A, can respect each other a whole lot more with what they're dealing with, opposing players, I should say, and I think there's a better capability of medical and training staffs knowing, all right, when it's safe to get them back on the ice in competition. So I think we're going to see a whole lot more of this.
Do you think we're going to see a whole lot more people crashing than that? I mean, they knew, you know, next season, wherever he gets in there, teams knew that Crawford was injured anyways, and there was speculation that it was a head injury. But do you think now that they know for sure what he's dealing with, what he's going to hopefully overcome somewhat shortly, that, okay, we got to make it really difficult for this guy, mm-hmm. and really put pucks on him and crash on that all the time?
Yeah, well, if there's contact, when Corey does get back on the ice, that's going to be a factor he plays in terms of playing pucks. If anyone's in his crease, you know, something should be called in that case. How far he goes out of the crease, that may play in. But, you know, even from the standpoint of playing that position with that injury in this game, you're going to need to be 100% back. This game is so fast. Horns are blowing. Crowds are screaming. We've heard about all the factors in terms of how players are challenged by some of these symptoms, whether it's, you know, Sidney Crosby in the past, you know, some other prominent names whose names escape me at this moment, but it's something common. And, you know, Sidney Crosby's made it all the way back. I know there are other goalies who have dealt with it, and that's the challenge that really lays ahead of Corey Crawford. When we talked to Cam Ward on Friday, he says this doesn't change his approach. He came here to be ready as one of the goaltenders on the Blackhawks. And, you know, he ended up playing about half the season last year when Scott Darling really slumped badly for Carolina. And the hope is that in this environment with the defense playing in front of him, some of his numbers can get back to the form that they were earlier in his career. And that leads us into the two other injuries that were announced on Friday, and that Connor Murphy is going to be out 2 months with a back injury. Brent Seabrook will be sidelined a month with an abdominal injury. For Brent's purposes, if that is the timetable and he comes back healthy from what apparently was a real rigorous offseason program, he'll be in the lineup. But Connor Murphy was one of these guys who was expected to be a regular every night. And I think that has opened the door much more widely for Henry Yokiharu, the 2017 first-round draft pick. And wouldn't you know it, on the first day of training camp, Yokiharu is paired with Duncan Keith. And we saw him at the scrimmage on Saturday as well. Joel had some words of praise following the scrimmage from him afterwards. So talking about a 19-year-old kid, there's a lot of potential vulnerability and problems that can create, but it's how quickly this kid can adapt to, you know, the fastest game in the world.
He was the guy that Joel singled out, too. That's, I think, asked who stuck out to him today, Saturday after training camp festival. It was Henry Yokiharu. And for him to kind of be, his mind to be going that way already, this is exactly what Connor Murphy didn't want to happen. To be out training camp, preseason through, when's he out? Till like November something?
Yeah, 2 months or something.
Yeah, 2 months. So this is not what he wants. If Yokiharu gets in there, yes, there's going to be a learning curve. He's playing the NHL for the first time. If he plays well, Murphy could be out a bit.
Mm-hmm. And even when Connor returns, though, he may still slide back in the lineup with Yokiharu, and then some other decisions are going to have to be made on a seventh defenseman, a scratch. But if Yokiharu does show throughout this preseason that he deserves to be up here, especially doing it with Duncan Keith, who can kind of coach him along, perhaps speed that learning process up a little bit more, he's going to have to play if he's up here. He can't be sitting up in the press box either. So this will be the proving ground over the course of the next 3 weeks, whether Yokiharu Q's biggest concern, strength and decision-making. On the latter point, he had some pretty strong words of encouragement with how he handled things, at least in the inter-squad scrimmage. So that leads us into the guys, the cup winners, the guys with the resumes. A long summer of soul-searching and a long summer of working on their own games now, something that they didn't necessarily have to prove when they were winning three Stanley Cups. Now, after two straight first-round exits and then not making the playoffs at all, 5 months after last season ended, everyone's anxious to see what the Taveses and the Sods and the Keese and the Seabrooks, guys who have won 2 and 3 cups and who had down years last year, how at least they look to Blackhawks brass as they reported back to training camp on Friday. Let's listen to General Manager Stan Bowman's thoughts on that.
To a man, they all, you know, understood it was an important summer, and they put in a lot of work. This is the best conditioned group I've ever seen. These guys came back in phenomenal shape, and they certainly trained hard. And, you know, I think they took it as a challenge. They want to get back to the levels that they're used to. So they did their part, and they certainly did everything you can do over the summer, which is take care of your body, prepare yourself, train hard, and they came in to camp ready to do that. So now is the next step. And, you know, it's hard to make improvements on your conditioning and your physicality and your strength during the season, because the season wears you down with games and, you know, starting today, it's a long grind. So if you hadn't made those improvements over the summer, you're sort of caught. You have no time to catch up. So every one of our players came in great shape. So that's good news. And, you know, now it's time to get on the ice.
Scott, those core guys responding and bouncing back is something that I think Stan Bowman, based on the moves he made in the offseason, is believing in, is banking on, is trusting, and now it's up for those guys on the ice to go ahead and do it. Even though Joel Quenneville had, you know, big words of praise for Brandon Manning after the first day of training camp, what he saw of him out there, and putting Chris Kunitz on a top line, which we'll get to a little bit later, and being impressed by a couple of other guys, it's all going to come down to, hopefully, A, Corey Crawford, but B, these guys who had down years last year bouncing back, putting up numbers that we're used to seeing. And here's the thing. Here's the concern, though. Even if they do that, based on what other teams have done in the Western Conference with these big splash moves from Pacioretty and Stastny in Vegas to everything St. Louis did to bolster their roster to now a few days ago, Erik Karlsson going out to San Jose, you know, and being on a blue line along with Brent Burns, you know, based on these not-so-splashy moves, it kind of adds an exclamation point for what these veterans are going to have to do and how quickly this team is going to have to gel and get out of the gate this year.
Well, you hope as a fan that they already did the hard part, and we think they did. We got word they did to put a lot of work in the weight room, a lot of vigorous training regimen. So we saw some guys play in the Chicago Pro Hockey League, which obviously wasn't the toughest thing they hopefully did this offseason, but you know they look good, and they wanted to get on the ice and get some minutes playing. And we just heard Quinville talk about how everyone's looked good, you know, with the strength and conditioning and the testing. And, you know, there's got to be a new king of the fitness testing now that Patrick Sharp's gone. So I wonder who that is. He wouldn't say anyone's name, but he said the core guys really look good as far as that's concerned. And now getting to, yeah, the West only improved with these moves that were made. But don't the Hawks still have, what, $5.5 million to tinker with? So is it too late for something big to happen to get the top defenseman they need or to get another guy who can score?
Probably not. And, you know, there have been, you know, rumors floating around on certain players with certain teams, a handful of scenarios. One has already played out with Erik Karlsson. So I wouldn't close the door particularly on that potentially happening. I think it may not happen this week. Something may happen a little bit closer to the start of the regular season, depending on what Stan and Joel see and what other teams see, how their rosters play out. But I wouldn't shut the door on that, but I also wouldn't shut the door on sitting tight, see how this team responds at the outset of the season before Stan senses a degree of urgency with whether he wants to make a move. Along those lines, let's hear from one of those guys that everyone is expecting to have a bounce back season, the guy with the C on his sweater, Jonathan Toews. And just as going home at the end of the regular season was unfamiliar territory for him and a handful of these other guys, that's also kind of resulted, as Jonathan told us after Friday's practice, in what has become a necessary approach to the start of training camp that has been quite different from years past.
I think we all hit the reset button. I think we can't forget what we went through last year. We got to use that as motivation, but at the same time, we can't come into this season thinking that's probably where we're going to end up. We can't come in with that as an expectation. We got to kind of wipe the slate clean and know that we don't take anything for granted, and we got to work for everything. And Joel even talked first thing that our compete level has to be better every single day, whether it's in practice or in games.
We heard a lot of what the captain said in a similar fashion to what Patrick Kane had to say following a charity event about 3 weeks ago for Special Olympics at MBIS Arena. We had a chance to talk to him. Patrick didn't say this at the convention, but he said this as we got closer to training camp. He said, last year at the start of the regular season, especially with the way the first two games played out, they kind of took for granted that you know they were going to be able to make the playoffs. The foot on the pedal wasn't necessarily always there last season, and they just thought that they could flip the switch whenever they wanted, and you know they'd be able to get back in. That was a given over the previous 9 or 10 years when they made the playoffs, won 3 Stanley Cups, had a couple of other deep runs. But it's interesting to see as these guys reflect. They've had a summer to make up excuses if they want, but for them to come out and say this, yes, you know, we weren't prepared to go full throttle every game last year based on what we've done in the past, and now Jonathan Toews, you know, bringing a new seriousness to the start of training camp. And when you look at the start of the regular season and what, as we said, other people have done in the West here, you better win that first game in Ottawa with the way the Senators are going. But then you go to St. Louis on Saturday night. You come back here and play Toronto and John Tavares and company on a Sunday night. And then we're off and running at Minnesota after that, another game against St. Louis. So the start of this season, health, there's as many guys healthy as you can, and having a consistency and continuity and knowing where everyone is at the same time, and having a breakneck attitude right out of the gate is going to be really important.
Yeah, the starter schedule is pretty tough. I was looking at it too today, and Kane's quote is very telling, and it could be very telling of how this season goes, Chris, because, yeah, those cup years, all around that time, in between, a little before, a little after, they knew with their talent and what they accomplished later that, yeah, we have that switch. We can, you know, we'll get up a few goals, or even if the other team gets up a couple goals, we can coast a little, preserve our energy, and then we can just pour on that a bunch of pucks and score a bunch. But was that confidence in their ability? Was that overconfidence? Why did it take them two early eliminations and a season where they don't make the playoffs for the first time in a decade to realize that? I don't know. But maybe that's just belief in their ability. And this year, I think, now that Kane said it, he probably knows that, and hopefully the rest of the team knows that, and the core knows that, yeah, we don't have that switch anymore. We have to work hard for a full 60 minutes.
We mentioned the start of the schedule, but I think we mentioned this also in one of our previous podcasts once the schedule came out. When you look at the finishing push here over the course of the last 9-10 games, here we go. Here's your finish. At Colorado, home to Colorado, at Arizona, who I think is going to be much better this year, at San Jose, at Los Angeles, then three home games. But they're against Winnipeg, St. Louis, and Dallas, and then you finish up at Nashville. You better be in pretty good position when you head to those final 9 or 10 games. And as we said a moment ago, one thing that Joel Quenneville, I think, would prefer is to have some continuity, figure things out, have players play with each other so they know each other a little bit better to get off to that fast start at the gate. So let's take a look at some of the lines he started with at training camp. And we saw here at the festival scrimmage, you have a little bit of juggling going on. Jonathan Toews now centering Alex DeBrincat and Chris Kunitz. You'll also have Nick Schmaltz centering Patrick Kane once again, but then Brandon Saad on the other side. Kane sounded really excited to perhaps be paired with Saad here. Did a lot of training with him in the offseason. And for a quote-unquote third line, Artem Anisimov, with another big guy on the wing, Victor Aidsell, who impressed during Rockford's run and had a real strong tournament at Traverse City a week ago. Dylan Sakura on the other side of Artem Anisimov. And then with Marcus Kruger in the middle, you figure on the fourth line, there's some pieces there you can mix and match. But the tweaking kind of done, and we'll talk about the defensive pairings as well in a minute, but I asked Joel Quenneville following Friday's practice, you know, how much he would like to see some of that continuity exist. We know Joel is famous for blowing up lines pretty quick, but trying to get something set in stone and hopefully these guys feeling a comfort level and a success level throughout the preseason here so they feel good about themselves as they head into the most important 82.
You know, we have, you know, two groups, and like we told the players, don't think that these decisions are what's going to happen. You know, we expect you guys to make the decisions for us on how you compete and how you play, and so that's going to make it competitive as well. But we put some players together here today thinking that maybe there's going to be some chemistry there immediately and could be a line as we go forward. But that's not etched in stone. But that's probably going to be something that we'll try as we progress throughout camp and don't mix it up till we, you know, think of that. Okay, let's try something else. But in the meantime, let's try to build off of that and hopefully it works.
As far as the defensive pairings go, we mentioned a little bit earlier the Keith Yokiharju pairing with Murphy and Seabrook out. The other things he did the first couple of days, he had the newcomer Brandon Manning and Jan Ruda paired together. He also had Brandon Davidson, who's here on a PTO, guy who played for three teams last year, but still totaled 56 games out of those three teams, paired with Eric Gustafson. But back to the forward lines, and you know, some of the naysayers out there are kind of disappointed to see Chris Kunitz, a guy who played with Sidney Crosby, helped him win a couple of cups in 16 and 17, went down to Tampa, was a bottom six guy. Here's Joel starting training camp, putting him on a line with Jonathan Toews and Alex DeBrincat. But, you know, Joel loves what he sees out of this guy who's going to be 39 years old before the season, the regular season even begins. And I know he chatted with a few of us reporters as well after the scrimmage on Saturday when he had himself a couple of prime chances.
Yeah, no, I had a nice talk with him on Saturday as well. And just look at how big of a deal it's been, not just to the fans, but to the younger guys coming into this dressing room, that they have a core that's won 3 cups. Chris Cummings has won 4 cups. So that he's going to be a big leader on this team. And he said he takes a lot of pride in being a guy who can play up and down the lineup. He said he hasn't played a whole lot of power play minutes the last couple of years, but you know, you figure with his skill set and his experience, he might figure back in there. And I thought it was very telling and absolutely a great way to motivate the team and go ahead and saying after Friday's practice that Kunitz is going to be playing there and somebody has to go and take it from him. I think that's very respectful to Kunitz and his career, and that is a phenomenal way to motivate a team where you have core guys who disappointed last year. You have guys playing in just their first or second NHL season. You have guys who are going to be on a team that just cracked the lineup and are just getting their feet wet in the NHL. So a great move by Quinville to tell us that and to throw them out there. I thought that was a pretty impressive coaching move.
Yeah, and hey, it's going to be very fluid here. Joel hopes not. Joel hopes these are the answers going in, and he can play these guys for 3 or 4 games together during the preseason and hit the ground running. But it's, you know, intriguing that, you know, Schmaltz and Kane played so well together last season. Now Brandon Saad's a guy, a net crasher, something that Schmaltz and Kane not necessarily are, but hopefully the way Kane can play make, and Schmaltz can do it too, can get Brandon Saad going. And then you see, you know, what a sniper like Alex DeBrincat can do playing with Taves, when that situation never played out with the captain's wingers last season due to Saad struggling. And then you have the veteran out there in Kunitz. And then, you know, we saw in the scrimmage on Saturday what Dylan Sakura can do. He ended up scoring a couple of goals, but putting a smaller guy and a facilitator on a line that has Artem Anisimov and, for now, Victor Edsel, two guys with great size, and Edsel and Sakura worked well together on a couple of goals late. That's kind of intriguing, too.
That line really stands out to me. I really like that line. Yeah. With Edsel, the way his hands got better, he got picked up a little more speed and worked on his skating last year and probably in the offseason. And you have a big center in Anisimov. And, yeah, I like the way that they're going to be worrying about the bigger guys and you know, Sakura might be open there around the net. But the fourth line, Chris, I think that's going to be – could be kind of a revolving door for some of the new guys and some of the prospects throughout camp here to see who plugs in there. And it could be a revolving door throughout the season.
I mean, it's wide open. We've heard about this Dominic Cahun player, comes over from Germany. He's 23 years old, has a clause in his contract. He can be returned to Europe if he doesn't make the Blackhawks roster. He says he will invoke that if that's the case. But then elsewhere in the scrimmage, you know, we saw some other things. I'm curious to see if there are any other takeaways from you. But before, you know, some of the guys you expect to score started doing that in the third period and the 10-minute three-on-three, we saw David Kampf, who's going to be in a fight for a roster spot or fighting for a roster spot. He scored a goal. Matthew Highmore, you know, a guy who really impressed in Rockford and didn't do too badly in the cup of coffee that he had up here last season. He scored a goal as well. Jordan Schrader, a guy who's been a journeyman in the league, he was on a line as well that seemed to be very active throughout this scrimmage. He's a guy who is capable of winning a roster spot, played only 21 games for Columbus last year, but another guy who's looking for some attention. So a lot of storylines that need to play out, and if at the very least five of the top six forwards are set in stone, with whether Kunitz stays there being the big question mark, almost as interesting as going to see what shakes down here with the bottom six, especially since we know Murphy's out. Forsling's going to be out at the outset. And you know, we'll see how they bring Brent Seabrook along. But how this battle goes with guys who at least start camp in the bottom six, it's going to be kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, real quick on David Kampf. You know, that's a name maybe fans aren't used to hearing. He'll be playing, I think, 46 games last year. And Quinville said with Kruger coming back, obviously, and playing some center, that Kampf, he kind of likes him on the wing, and that could happen. So it'll be interesting to see how he figures in, as well as a lot of other guys.
Well, I saw, as we wrap up here, you were out Friday night hanging with a comedian, getting backstage shots with him, and I hope you're a little bit more on the Blackhawks beat now once the preseason. What do you got coming on the Chelsea blogger here? I know you talked about sitting down with Kunitz for a few minutes after the scrimmage Saturday.
Yeah, I just threw up some stuff on the old train.
Don't throw up.
Right? So I'm trying not to. You know, I had too much fun. No, I didn't drink at all last night. But it was fun to be backstage with Russell Peters. I'm doing a little comedy writing for Forbes, if anybody wants to check that out. But I just did a story on a train camp festival here. Some good stuff from Kunitz. I threw some quotes in on Crawford and kind of the injury updates as a whole, so check that out. And I think I'll end up doing a whole feature on Kunitz, probably. Got a lot of stuff from him. And after that, I think I'm going to plan on being at camp on Monday and Tuesday, so some updates from there, too.
We will see you there, and you can follow us on Twitter. Scott's at Scott King Media. I'm at Bowden Tweets. We also invite you to follow along on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. That'll include Scott's Chelsea Blogger blog. We also, of course, invite you to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, leave a review. And we hope you enjoyed getting back into the rhythm of things. We'll be back at you every week, every 10 days, 2 weeks, probably nothing more than 2 weeks, where we will annoy people with our notifications. And another fresh podcast is out, but hopefully there's a lot to talk about. I think there will be a lot this coming season as we see how these Blackhawks respond to what was a down season in 2017-18. We also want to thank Joe Romano for once again putting this thing together, putting the glue, the paste, the tape together, so you can hear this Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Again, you'll be hearing a lot more of us coming here. Hockey is back. For Scott King, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again soon.